This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off. Hi, thank you so much for listening to... Wait, why am I starting this like I'm ending it? Okay, hold on one second. Hi, welcome to another episode of Trick Talks. My name is Barbara Lally, and today I am answering your questions from my Instagram story. So if you haven't been able to submit a question to me, don't fret. You'll be able to do that on my Instagram story. I'm going to try to do it multiple times a week so that I can gather some questions for these podcast episodes. So this is very fun. The questions are random. They're from my listeners or from people that follow me on Instagram, and I'm excited to dive into them today. The first person who submitted a question asks me to look into the effect of hormonal birth control. Does it make trichotillomania worse? So, from what I've researched, there isn't much data that proves that hormonal birth control has a negative impact on trichotillomania. I'm going to share a little bit about my personal experience with hormonal birth control. I started pulling out my hair when I was 10 years old. I started with my eyebrows, eyelashes, and hair from my scalp. When I was 14 years old, that was when I first got on birth control because my periods were so horrible. I would literally have to leave school every single month. My mom would have to come pick me up. I'd be crying in the bathroom. It was god awful. And so I had a cousin who had similar experiences. And when she went on birth control, all of those things went away for her. She was able to function and not have to leave school and things like that. So we decided as a family that I would get on birth control and see what happened. Well, I was able to function. It was great. I was on birth control for a very long time. And throughout that experience, I noticed that my trichotillomania was the same as it had always been. It was intense. It would lessen. It would be intense again. It would lessen again. I didn't notice any changes. I had already been pulling for about 4 years before I got on birth control. I'm off birth control now, have been for quite some time, and I feel the same. There have been some changes as far as getting off birth control. I mean, there's so many things that have to do with your hormones. But just speaking from trichotillomania, I did not notice a positive or a negative change. I scoured some Reddit pages to see if there were people that did have negative changes. There was one person that I saw, but there was a few people that mentioned, hey, I didn't notice anything. So from what I gathered from the internet, just by doing my own little research and my personal experience, I guess it depends on the person. I don't want to give a definitive answer, but for right now, it's saying that there is no proof that it makes your trichotillomania worse. My next question is, who is my favorite famous person with trichotillomania? I would have to say it is Amy Schumer. Now, whatever you think about Amy, I don't care. My favorite person with trichotillomania is Amy Schumer because she had the most beautiful representation of trichotillomania that I had ever seen. Life and Beth is a show that is autobiographical. So it has elements of her life, Amy Schumer's own life in the story. And young Amy Schumer dealt with trichotillomania. She ended up wearing a wig. And because she had trichotillomania herself, still has it, has mentioned that on the Howard Stern show. She openly talks about how she still continues to wear hair extensions because her hair is so thin. Because of her lived experience, she had a beautiful portrayal. Now, I wrote a blog about this. I posted on Instagram about this quite a few times. Life and Beth, the show, even liked my post. Don't want to brag too much. So if you don't want any spoilers, pause right now and go watch the show, season one. If you didn't pause, you're gonna get spoiled. What I find amazing about her portrayal is that she has her mother and her, they're at a hair salon and they're saying what's wrong, and the hairdresser is saying she has trichotillomania, she pulls her hair out, she can't stop. You see young Amy with her fingertips in her scalp, feeling around, looking for that perfect hair. You see her do that a few times. You also see her pulling out the hair, that strand, and you see her creating a bald spot. When I've seen trichotillomania represented in the media, typically what I see is a person pulling out a chunk of hair, or they're so angry they rip their hair. It's never the true experience, I feel. It's always so much more intense, so much more made for TV. Their intention is for people to gasp and go, oh my gosh, what's that weird thing that's happening? Amy's portrayal is very delicate, very gentle. It matched my true experience. And this was like, I had seen trichotillomania represented a few times. This one made me cry because of how spot on. I could not believe I could see her thinning area and her little finger moving around, looking for the perfect hair and like feeling the bald spot, feeling the hair that's growing back in. It was amazing. If you haven't seen at least that episode, I suggest you tune in. It was amazing. I loved it. And I love her for that. I think it takes a lot of courage to share your experience. She mentions in her interview with Howard Stern that she was very ashamed of this behavior and felt very isolated, all the same feelings that we have felt with this disorder. And she used her huge platform to create this show. And that has amazing, many amazing topics and storylines, and really, it's so real. The show itself is so real. But especially this trichotillomania part, holy cow, that was something special. And so she'll forever be my favorite famous person with trichotillomania because of that. On my blog, barbaralally.com/blog, I have a section called BFRBs in the Media, and that is where I will post the little snippets. It's either from movies, books, TV shows. I'm actually going to have one in May that's lyrics from a song that hint at trichotillomania. So if you're looking for the specific episode, it is season one, episode 9, and you can watch Life and Beth on Hulu. This question that was submitted is probably one of the hardest questions to answer, and also one question that I receive the most often. It is, how can I stop? I always joke around when I see people commenting this on my posts, and I say, you're asking the wrong person, because I haven't. And that's true. I actually haven't. And I think that when you are going through trichotillomania and you're living with this disorder, that is probably the number one question on your mind. How can I stop doing this behavior? I hate it so much. It's ruining my life. It's ruining my confidence. And believe me, I have been there. I have so been there. I was there for years. Most of my journey with trichotillomania, I lived in that place. However, for many people, there is no stopping. For many people, it is a chronic condition. It is listed as a chronic condition for a reason. People are experiencing this their whole lives. Now, the severity changes, of course. Maybe the location changes. Maybe the BFRB changes. It's not uncommon for people to have more than one BFRB at a time. People bite their nails, they pick their skin, they chew their tongue, they bite their cheeks, they pick their lips. And you may notice that your trichotillomania lessens when you are engaging in those other BFRBs. So unfortunately, I can't answer how can I stop for many, many reasons. One reason is because all of our trichotillomania, the way that it manifests in us is different. There are tons of similarities. Heck yeah. But the things that work for me might not necessarily work for you. I could list the things that work for me. I have on barbaralally.com/blog. But all jokes aside, I will share some things that work for me. But those things may not work for you. You might hate them. And the things that don't work for me, they may work for you. So my number one piece of advice for how can I stop is try all the things that you can. Try every single thing that you can and see what works. And I don't mean works forever and ever and ever and ever, and that one thing's gonna work and you're cured. I mean, see what works for 2 days. See what works for 2 weeks. Rotate them. Try them on different days. You're going to most likely have to manage this disorder for the rest of your life. If that is the case, how can you have tools at your disposal? Many different ones. I constantly hear people say, I tried a fidget and I didn't like it. Well, yeah, who wants to have the same fidget all day, every day for the rest of your life? That's boring. Nobody wants to do that. It's not going to work. Now, a fidget can work, and I have certain fidgets around certain areas of my house that live there. They live there, they serve their purpose right there, and they don't leave that spot. Find a fidget that can live somewhere. If you're at your desk and you find that you're pulling there, hey, maybe you do have a little coil that you can play with. While you're in the car, maybe you have a physical barrier. Maybe you have a hat, a bonnet, something you can put on. Maybe you have a finger cot that you can put over your index finger so that you can't feel the hair. And so the desire to pull out that certain hair is eliminated. I love the Keen too. You already know. You won't have heard the ad yet, but you'll hear it soon. But like I said, I have been a customer of Habit Aware's products and the Keen too for years before I start working for the company. But that's a great tool. It's going to vibrate every time that hand goes up to that area. And it works for me to help me gain that awareness. Other things that I do, I have a routine for when I wash my hair. A trigger for me is dirty hair. If my hair is dirty, I'm going to say, okay, great. Let's start digging around. It's already dirty. Who cares? So if I'm able to get in the shower, have clean hair, do my hair in a nice style, I'm eliminating that urge for a while. The main thing is that you're gonna try different things. It's all about management. It's all about management. Stopping is great. Stopping is trying to be perfect. And I don't think perfectionism has helped anyone, especially not us. And I think that learning to manage it and finding out what your triggers are, understanding how you can be but maybe better prepared for your triggers, learning about your trichotillomania, why are you pulling during this time? Using your tools. The Keen 2 gathers data from you. Like you just live your life and it gathers your data. You every time it vibrates, it tracks that so you can look at your days and say, okay, every day at 11:30 at night, I'm getting vibrations like crazy. Maybe I need to go to bed earlier. There are tools and things to do at your disposal that will help you manage it. Stopping is not my goal, and I don't think it's a great goal to have, only because, like I said, it's from perfectionism and that's unhealthy. And I think that managing it is much better, much more positive, and you can have a lot more wins than if you just say, how can I stop? Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. My next question is, how do you feel about the popularity of eyelash extensions? Well, let me tell you, I love it. I love it. When I was growing up pulling out my eyelashes, we did not have the same products that we do now. Oh my gosh, the makeup community and the makeup products that you can have now, they're absolutely amazing. Like, forget about the eyelashes for 1 second. Let's talk about the eyebrow pencils that look like actual eyebrow hair. I used a grayish brown. It looked silver on my skin, and I still used it on my eyebrow, and it looked like I got a lot of graphite and just drew on my skin. That's what I was living with when I was in sixth grade. If I had the opportunity to be able to draw individual hairs, my life would have been so much different. So, same thing with the eyelash extensions. They look so real. It is fantastic. I've sworn off eye makeup for a few years now as something that was important to my trichotillomania journey. The reason I did that was because When the pandemic hit, I had pulled out all my eyelashes again after having 10 years of having, oh, pretty much a full set. 99% of my eyelashes. Yeah, I'd pull one or two here or there, but I did not have bald eyelids for 10 years. And then here they go. At the time, I was a teacher and I felt uncomfortable sharing my experience with my children in the classroom and the other teachers. I was still very much hiding my trichotillomania in my everyday life. I was anonymous on Instagram during this time and starting to get more comfortable there, but I didn't feel comfortable in my everyday life with my trichotillomania. So what did I do? I wore false eyelashes. So every day for a year, I wore false eyelashes all day, every day. I slept in them. I would wake up, take them off, put them back on if they got messed up in the middle of the night. I would get into the shower with them. They'd fall off. I'd open up a new pack, put them right back on. The reason I continued wearing them even when I got home was because I felt like I looked hideous with these bald eyelids. I looked like a naked mole rat. I didn't feel like myself. I thought, who is this alien looking back at me in the mirror? And when I say alien, I'm bringing that back because when I first had pulled out all my eyelashes, a classmate of mine had called me an alien, and I was like, wow, they're right. Like, I really do look like that. And so that term stuck with me. And see, even years and years later, it came out of my mouth again, looking like an alien. And so after a year of doing this, I'm like, ugh, first of all, my eyelids are irritated. I did not feel like putting on the glue and taking it off and putting it on. It started to annoy me. And also, what annoyed me was the fact that I didn't like to look at myself without these eyelashes. I'm like, wait a minute. Something's not right here. This isn't matching how I want to feel. It's matching how I currently feel. I currently feel ugly and hideous, but I don't want to feel that way anymore. It's been so long. I've always kind of felt that way with my trichotillomania. I don't want to cringe when I look in the mirror. I want to accept and feel like I look like myself, no matter what state my eyelashes are in. So once I decided I'm not wearing them anymore, I just entered the world with my eyelashes the way that they are. Full, sparse, gone. It didn't matter. I was forcing myself to live like that because I wanted to recognize myself in the mirror and I wanted to say, hey, I'm beautiful today, tomorrow. I was beautiful yesterday. I'm going to be beautiful in 2 months. I wanted to feel beautiful in my own skin. It was very, very important to me. With that said, I love the eyelash extension trend. When I went to school and I had no eyelashes and I would wear the false eyelashes, all of my coworkers already did that. So all of the students were like, oh my gosh, Miss Lally, you're finally wearing makeup. Oh my gosh, you look so cute, slay. Because all the other teachers were dolled up. They had the false eyelashes. It was a big thing then too. So it made me feel comfortable that I had the option to blend in, to feel that normalcy that I was not feeling at home. I wanted to blend in, and I was able to do that. I think that the options are fantastic. There are people in the world who don't want people to know they have trichotillomania, and that's okay. Nobody has to go on the internet like I do and say, hey, this is what I have, and here, look at this. That's my choice. I'm choosing to do that, and I want to do that. That's part of my journey, my healing journey. But you don't have to. So if there are wigs, eyelash extensions, eyebrow tattoos, where it's like a tattoo that you would put on your arm that like you can rub off. I've seen amazing. There are just, oh, temp like a temporary tattoo. There's microblading. There's options for people. There are things that will help you cover up the things that maybe you don't want people to see. I think that's a great option. I also think it can be a slippery slope, right? Because some people might say, well, you're hiding behind these things. You're hiding. Who gives a shit? If they think that you're hiding or not, if that's what's going to make you feel the most beautiful, then you do that. Okay? It's the same thing as if you're like, oh, I feel like I look better as a blonde than I do with my brown hair. No one's gonna be like, you're hiding. No. If you feel the most comfortable wearing eyelash extensions, wear them. Gladly wear them. It's amazing. I think it's beautiful. I think you should always do what makes you feel the most comfortable and the most beautiful. And if you want to change it, change it. Hey, I'm telling you, for that year, I felt beautiful with the eyelashes. And then I was like, oh, this is starting to get on my nerves. I want to feel beautiful without them. That was my journey. But if you like that, do that. Do what's going to make you happy and what's going to make you comfortable and beautiful. Trichotillomania is tough. We don't want to make it harder on ourselves, right? All right, so those were the questions for today. If you'd like to submit a question to be answered on Trick Talks by me, please take a look at my Instagram story. I will have it throughout the week and multiple times throughout the month where you can submit a question for me to answer on Trick Talks. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next time.